This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm Patrick Campion, and this is a time for us to really focus on that word community. And you've heard us say it quite a bit that one of our big overriding goals here is to serve this community, to inform our community, to kind of be at the center of many of the community conversations which are ongoing here. And gosh, we wish we had a dozen more people we could send out and cover all the great things that are happening in our community. And we don't ignore problems. We really talk about them in a frame of what can we do to help each other solve these problems. And we know we have a community full of people that are ready to reach out that hand and help others. And we've partnered with Concentrate Media, and Sarah Rigg is here from Concentrate.
Hello.
And Sarah is bringing us more great information. But first, let's talk about how do we find you. And just want to mention, WEMU is the media partner on this project. Sarah does most of the heavy lifting as the project manager.
That's right.
All right. I was forgetting the modern term that we used to describe you now. But you are the full project. You're no longer the interim. You're the absolute.
That is correct.
All right. So Sarah Rigg is a local here. And what are you doing with Concentrate?
So did you want me to talk about On the Ground? I'm sorry. Was that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So on the Concentrate Media is an online only news publication that covers all of Washtenaw County. And On the Ground is a reporting project that focuses specifically on Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township. So I'm digging down and getting some of the other stories that other newslets aren't getting, telling the good news or the news about people who are trying to make things better in the community.
And that is something we've heard a lot in throughout the history of WEMU. I'm sure others have talked about it as well, which is that there's predominantly negative coverage of what's happening in Ypsilanti. So this is a concentrated, the pun intended, effort to bring forth the good news from Ypsilanti. And it's not sunshine and rainbows and puppies and kittens, although we love all those things. It is generally people that found a reason to help others in our community because of something that they saw a need, they're trying to fill a need. So what's the need we're seeing today and who's filling in?
So my very first assignment as On the Ground project manager was covering TEDx Ypsilanti, and one of the speakers there was Jacqueline Williams, who is the executive director of the Michigan Prison Doula Initiative. And I've been wanting to do a story about the initiative for months, and they finally got all their T's crossed and I's dotted in terms of getting the project launched. So I thought this would be a good time to go circle back and talk to her about what's going on.
Well, Jacqueline, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Tell us a little bit first about you. I mean, how should we know you? Are you local? Can we certify you as local? Are you a townie?
I am not a townie, but right. I was a townie for a very long time.
Okay, we're establishing your street cred here.
Yes,
in the
I
community.
Know. I hope to be a townie again. Okay. We're actually looking for a permanent place to move, and Ipsy is top of the list.
Okay, so the Michigan Prison Doula Initiative. Sarah mentioned that you presented at the TEDx. So this is something that's the idea has been kind of growing. So tell us a little bit about the idea, why did this idea come up and why did this project emerge? And then we'll talk about where you're at with it now.
Sure. So we've been working on the Michigan Prison Doula Initiative for about 2.5 years now. A lot of it started right after I gave birth to my daughter, which was about 3 years ago. And I had a wonderful experience. I had a midwife and two doulas. I had, the low lights and soft music and everything that you could possibly want in
De-stress.
A birth experience. Okay. It was wonderful. And it was still a really, really difficult thing. So I've always been, sort of an activist and community oriented. I started doing a lot of research and thinking a lot about what it would look like to be in a less than ideal situation and giving birth and how difficult that must be.
And you were talking about your birthing experience, obviously was in a very comfortable room, a familiar room. You had family and friends and all these resources nearby, and it is still an incredibly stressful and painful and life-changing experience. I'm sure you know. I can't speak from personal experience, but I have witnessed a couple myself. Using the word doula, just for the uninitiated that have only ever experienced like a hospital traditional quote-unquote childbirth, tell us, what is the role of the doula?
Sure. So a doula is a non-medical birth partner. Generally, the scope of doula care is prenatally. We meet, discuss birth options and preferences, any fears and concerns are addressed, and then we sort of make a birth plan together. together. The doula will then attend the birth generally, just there to be a, you know, physical support, educational support, emotional support for the birthing woman, but also, you know, for family members that are there as well. You know, the whole team's having a baby. And we then will meet postpartum and sort of work on processing, try to identify if there's any depression or anxiety happening, figure out, you know, a plan for this great transition in your life and, you know, how we can best support it.
So you were saying, you were thinking, okay, I did this in a comfortable environment. What would it be like to do it in a really uncomfortable environment? So let's talk about a place where women are probably more uncomfortable, more stressed, more rigored in their what they can and can't do and the extent of their freedom than a woman in prison. I mean, it is got to be one of the worst places to be pregnant that I can imagine. Even if you're in the best prisons in the world, it is still going to be an incredibly stressful place to be pregnant and going to approaching the birthing process and then, you know, thinking about what's going to happen with my child after he or she is born. So, I mean, was that kind of where your head was at in that?
Absolutely. You know, the nature of incarceration, like you said, even in the best prisons in the world, is stressful and it's difficult. And, you know, you don't have very much agency to decide what you want to do and when you want to do it. And, you know, just the nature of being a patient can make you feel vulnerable and like you don't have a lot of agency. And then, you know, it's sort of compounded by the fact that you're a prisoner at the same time. And so, you know, you can't run and get the smoothie that you'd like to get or grab the extra pillow or any of the things that we as pregnant women, you know, really enjoy.
Right, those midnight cravings for pickles and ice cream. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's none of that care or concern is really available to you there because of the environment you're restricted into. We talked a little bit in the past with other people about specific medical needs while incarcerated, and we talked a little bit about psychiatric needs, and we talked about specific medical conditions, things like that. Obviously, being pregnant is a uniquely women's condition. Are these women that you have experience with or the ones you're thinking about, are they coming into prison pregnant and then having to deal immediately with the stress of the unknown? Or how does this process work? I mean, I'm just so unfamiliar with it. I'm trying to imagine, maybe you could walk me through a scenario of someone that you're thinking about helping and how she ended up, you know, in the place where she's at.
Sure. So unfortunately, because we have really massive drug epidemics ravaging our country right now, there's a lot of young women, you know, a lot of them from rural Michigan, different demographics than we've generally seen enter prison, who are, you know, coming into prison pregnant. So just because of the terms of incarceration, some women will give birth while in jail. Some women will give birth while incarcerated in prison. That depends on, you know, sentencing and specifics.
What phase they're at in the trial.
Correct.
And conviction and sentencing. Okay.
Yep. So, you know, you enter prison and the prisoners are housed in a different ward that's sort of closer to medical care. And there are different accommodations. But in general, it's scary and it's stressful and there's, you know, you can't know everything about what's going on because there isn't, you know, the phone calls that you can make outgoing to folks to ask questions. You know, you can't call your mom and ask her to come over and rub your feet. So, you know, the nature of sort of the restriction makes it feel more high risk.
And let's take it back a few months and let's talk about before this initiative started. You know, if I'm a woman and I'm in, let's say, jail in Michigan, do I have hardly any options given to me for the, I'm assuming I can't choose a doctor. I'm assuming I can't choose a style of birth. I'm assuming I can't choose where I'm going to give birth. I'm assuming I probably can't choose who's going to be in the room with me at that time. I mean, all of these things. And then you talked about, you know, many of these women are coming in with drug issues. Prenatal care obviously is going to be a concern if health is an issue there. A lot of people that are in prison come from way below the poverty line. Unfortunately, there's a direct link there. So these women are probably more likely to have other health issues related to just simply being poor in the U.S. I mean, what was it like? I mean, let's take a statistic maybe you might have off the top of your head. What are the rates of healthy live birth and no complications for a woman in prison versus a woman in the general population?
Yeah, so I don't have the statistic right off my head, but we definitely consider pregnancy and birth to be high risk by nature of incarceration. So, you know, you've got the stress hormones way elevated. That can do a lot of damage. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of factors that happened pre-incarceration, you know, exposure to drugs, exposure to violence, maybe transitional housing. There's a lot of poverty. And, you know, so you're already not probably an ideal situation, and then you're entering prison where, like you said, your choices are very limited. So that increases your stress. You know, it just feels incredibly uncomfortable, and you know, we as a society don't put a lot of medical credence behind the way that your emotions and your mental state can affect your physicality. But we as doulas know that that's the truth. And we understand that if you are not feeling in control, emotionally stable, you're going to have a much more difficult time.
So Sarah mentioned this is something you've been working on for a while, your group. Walk me through basically the process of, you know, what does it take to approach somebody at the Michigan Department of Corrections and then work with them to determine their comfort level? And obviously, there's a lot of rules they have in place for the protection of everyone involved, certainly, but, you know, and for other reasons, too. But you're dealing in a heavily restricted environment as a caregiver, too. So how do you get from, hey, this is a good idea to, you know, signing, as Sarah said, the crossing T's, dotting I's, and actually getting into the prisons and jails to help women?
Grit.
Determination.
Hanging on, determination, perseverance. If you are thinking about doing something like this, don't think it's going to happen in the next couple of days. It really took from conception of the real program idea to final contract signed, it took about 2.5 years. So we originally, you know, came up with the idea, sort of formed a team of birth workers in the area. We've got some ladies who have been doulas since before the word doula was a thing. And we formed this team. Then we sat down and really wrote a proposal. So this proposal, I mean, it ended up being about 35 pages long, and it had a lot of information in it. It reads kind of like a research paper. It's very boring. But we proposed what doula care can accomplish in the right setting. And we also used some, you know, some numbers and some facts from other doula programs around the country. There are very few right now. We're actually only one of three functional ones in the country. But there was just a ton of information, facts, you know, ideas and perseverance put into this proposal. And then we were able to present that proposal to the oversight committee, which is contracted out of Wayne State. So we presented to them as well as a couple people, you know, high up at, we were very lucky that they were willing to sit down and, you know, give us an ear and listen. And I think that that comes from the fact that, you know, this Department of Corrections, unlike a lot of others in the country, is really willing to listen and make improvements when you show up with a solution.
So you're just getting your feet under you with this initiative. It's, I mean, 2.5 years in, but you're just starting to look at doing the work. Is this going to be limited to specific locations, specific types of inmates? I mean, where do you start?
Sure. So there's only one women's prison in Michigan, which most people don't know.
Right in our backyard.
It's right in our backyard, guys. It's in Ipsy. But most people don't know that. So there used to be a bunch, and they were consolidated into one. Right now, we are just in the prison. We do have dreams of expanding to county jails. So because of the way sentencing works, like we talked about, there's actually more women who give birth from jail than from prison. And they're facing a lot of the same sort of difficulties.
So when you do a program like this at a county level, like you were wanting to step into, do you then have to negotiate individually with different counties? Like you have to go to Washtenaw County Sheriff's or whoever the oversight is for the... Okay, so
correct.
There's
yep.
a lot more work. You're going to repeat this process over and over
correct.
Again.
Correct.
Do some of them just have faith that if it, you know, works at the prison level that it might work for them? Obviously, there's going to have to be some changes,
right.
you know, different population of inmates, certainly, and different needs. But, I mean, do they have faith that if you did this successfully here at, for a year that you would apply in other places?
We're certainly hoping so.
Okay.
That's what we're going for. So, you know, just getting into the prison, having the program fully implemented, being able to serve people, help change the outcomes of births, possibly help, you know, strengthen that family bond from the onset. We're hoping that we can have enough, you know, provable improvements in care that people say, hey, you know, this is actually a great idea for our county as well.
Okay, so let's imagine, you know, I'm 3 months pregnant. I'm a woman. I've just gone through, I've pled out, and I've got a year sentence for a drug offense. Now I'm here in Ipsy, and I'm in prison for a year. they obviously knew I was pregnant, you know, but I'm assuming there's testing and other things that goes into medically certifying an inmate. What are they saying to me now that they weren't saying to me a year ago, let's say? I mean, what options do I have available to me?
Sure. So
not me personally, right. Obviously.
So you'll do, you know, the standard intake, and they will ask you, you know, a lot of different questions about history, about previous births, things like that. And then now there is presented, okay, well, we have a doula program. So they're, you know, non-departmental people, and we also don't work for the birthing hospital either, just a separate nonprofit who's there specifically for the woman. And I think that that will, you know, let people open up a little more, talk to us a little bit more about what their fears and concerns are, and maybe, you know, build a bond and build trust so we can really effectively support people.
So they don't necessarily need to know exactly who you are, what you're doing, just that this is another resource available to them outside of the prison system. You know, I'm hoping that at this point you've already talked to a few inmates and things like that. How attractive of an option is this to women in prison?
Right now, everyone is very interested. You know, the reality is that before there was no, you know, non-departmental person in the room. So, you know, even though, you know, some correctional officers are very positive and encouraging, it's different than having a person who's specifically there for you,
right.
Who can, you know, supplement the medical care. Doctors and nurses come in and give great care, but they also have a lot of other patients on the floor. We stay right in the room, you know, as well as try to help with the prenatal alleviating fears up to the moment, and then the postnatal processing of what it feels like to give birth and then have to leave your baby and return to the prison.
Do you know what is the birth rate? It's Huron Valley right here. That's Huron
Correct.
Valley Correctional. Do you know how many births they're having a year right now?
Average is between 30 and 50.
Okay, so you're talking about almost 1 week at this point. And I'm assuming a lot of these women would be just likely to grab onto any help they can get, you know, regardless of whether they know what a doula is or even know how to spell it or pronounce it. They're going to ask for help because if you're pregnant, you're in prison, you're probably likely to need help. You mentioned, you know, after birth. I'm not familiar with what happens when a woman gives birth in prison, obviously has more time on her sentence. You know, everybody's going to be a little different here depending on how long and whether adoption's an option and whatnot. But what typically happens with a woman and her child?
Generally, which is really great news, there is a placement family that is within either the mom's immediate family, extended family, or friend group.
So somebody look after the child until the mom's released.
Correct. And okay. Generally, that's what happens. And we're, you know, there's a lot of people that work hard on keeping children out of the system and out of foster care. And we are, you know, very encouraged to work with some of those organizations. Sometimes the baby does end up in foster care. Sometimes, you know, the mother would like to choose adoption anyway, and that's the option for her. So we are there to support the mother in whatever option she chooses. You know, we don't keep contact with that infant after they have been placed with the family. We are there for the mother specifically, you know, which is a little bit different than in free world doula care. So, you know, we would sort of be there with the family and making sure bonding and breastfeeding is going well. Now we're really just there for processing postpartum.
Yeah, and I could imagine that incidences of postpartum, especially if you look at how aggressive it is, would be much more frequent and much worse for women in prison because, you know, how long does a mother spend with a child if there's a family member willing to take on? How long does a woman spend with that child after birth?
Generally 24 hours.
And then that's it. They don't see that child again until visiting or until they're out?
Until visiting.
Okay.
Yep. And
right.
So, you know,
very limited access.
Placement families are encouraged to bring the child in for visiting and bonding. But because there's only one women's prison in Ypsilanti, there are families up in the UP that just, you know, can't make that 18-hour round trip.
And you're also now dealing, though, with a woman who's incarcerated, already dealing with all those mental health issues, has just had a child. And now that child is gone, and you're going to take on helping her make through that transition as well as mentally healthy and physically healthy as she can.
We hope so.
Tremendously difficult work, I would assume. I'm sure there's people listening right now that are thinking, I would really love to help with this. How do people reach out to you? How do people find you?
Sure. So momsbeyondbars.org is our website. We're also on Facebook under that same handle, Moms Beyond Bars. You know, we have a campaign that's trying to get all of the births covered. We do pay our doulas because we don't want a lot of turnaround with the contracted workers. We believe it's a skill that people should be paid to do.
I'm assuming they need to be approved by the Michigan
Correct.
Department of Corrections.
Yes, okay. We all have to pass pretty stringent background checks and go through, you know, lien clearance and processing and orientation. So, you know, all of that is completed as of very recently. And so we have our website, we have Facebook. We'd love to hear from folks. There's birth workers all over the country or, you know, all over the state that reach out and say, hey, we really need this up in my county jail. We'd love to hear from everybody, and especially people who have been through this. You know, we would love to hear from them as well.
Have you talked to anybody at Washtenaw County yet about the possibility of extending this into?
Not yet,
okay.
But we are
all right.
Formulating a plan.
I bet there are people listening right now who would say, I'll make that call for you. So you're going to gain some advocates on the back end of this. So,
that's a great point. Thanks.
Also, too, you know, we see a lot of these types of initiatives in our state being applied in other states. We love being a leader in great work like this. Has anybody talked to you yet about, hey, is this works in Michigan? Can you show us how to do it in Colorado?
Or absolutely. Lots of people have reached out in that way. I just did a podcast from someone, you know, with someone from North Carolina who was looking to get something like this started. So like I said, there are only three functioning programs right now, and actually the other two are sort of branches of each other. It's in Minnesota and Alabama. But, you know, if we can do it and if Alabama can do it, places around the country, they can absolutely do it as well. And we're really hoping to make a model that is replicable around the country.
Jalen, if you had one takeaway from this, I mean, one overriding goal, I mean, what you personally or as an organization, what would it be?
I would really like to change the way that we collectively as a society view prisoners, I think we sort of disregard their humanity in a lot of ways, and we would really like to let everybody know that people end up in prison for a wide variety of different reasons, and maybe if one or two things in your life were different, you could have been in the same exact situation. So finding that empathy and humanity for people and really trying to reach out to the most vulnerable communities, you know, that's what makes this community great.
And I think you hit on a good point there that people, the moment you walk into, especially prison, you're dehumanized in many different ways. It is one of the loneliest places on earth, also one of the most dangerous places on earth. So, you know, especially for an American, I think because obviously prisons in other parts of the world are much worse than we have here. But I think you're right on that this starts with recognizing these aren't numbers. These are human women that are having a child and probably responsible for a vast majority of that child's upbringing once she leaves that prison setting. So why not get them off on the best start possible to
absolutely
help avoid happening then, you know, 18 years down the road, don't want this happen with another child or another person.
Absolutely. We see that, you know, if a mother is incarcerated while she gives birth, there are, you know, it's a far, far greater chance that child will end up back in the system or, you know, incarcerated later in their life. And we really think that if we can try to heal the trauma and break this intergenerational pain right at birth, you know, we can do a lot to really build strength in families and build strength in our community.
Well, great. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being a good part of our community, trying to help others. And, you know, we'd love to hear updates from you once you get your feet under, get going with it. Tell us some success stories. That'd be great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah, thanks for bringing Jacqueline this morning. I love learning about new things here as part of On the Ground IPSY. And this, there's a lot of new information there today. I'm assuming, what are you doing for pictures and stuff this week? I'm curious.
So apparently Doug met with Jacqueline and with one of the doulas, Arnetta,
okay,
who's wonderful. She's interesting because she is a former employee of the Michigan Department of Corrections and also a doula since the late 90s. So she's got a lot of insider knowledge on both sides.
Inside info. All right, good. Well, we'll get your piece at concentratemedia.com. It's Concentrate A2 on Twitter. And Concentrate Media everywhere else?
That's right.
All right. You know, I sometimes mess that up, but I'm glad I got it right today. And what are we going to be talking about next week? Do we have a preview?
Well, I have a little bit of a community development story going on. I think it's kind of interesting what Habitat for Humanity does when they come into a new neighborhood and start doing work, that they really trying to get the community on board and find out what their priorities are. So they've recently started working in an Ypsilanti Township neighborhood called Sugarbrook that's surrounds the Sugarbrook Park. And so I'm going to be talking to township officials about what their hopes and dreams are
and
Habitat, and I'm hoping to talk to some people who live in the neighborhood too. I've just gotten started on it. I'm not done with it, it, but like I said, I'd like to get some voices of the community about what they would like.
Yeah, I think when we hear about Habitat for Humanity, we see Jimmy Carter building houses, but they do so much more than that. And you're right, they go house to house and to try and ascertain needs for an individual basis. So I love looking forward to that, and we'll talk to you about that next week. In the meantime, you can find everything that Sarah's up to at concentratemedia.com, and you can find it all linked over at WEMU.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.